Can y'all hear me? Good. Well, I'm very thankful to be out here in front of y'all tonight. Thank you, Brother Toby and Kate and Logan, for giving me the opportunity to be able to preach this message. And just in case any of y'all don't know who I am, my name is Tyler Holt. Today I'm going to be preaching out of Titus 3, and I'm really going to be focusing on verses 3 through 7, but I'm also going to include verses 1 and 2 as well. So before we read, though, I want to pray, and while y'all are flipping there, let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. Just thank you for the graduates that have graduated, Lord, and just be able to guide their lives, Lord, and also just speak through me today, God. Just hide me behind the cross, and also open everyone's hearts in here, God. Let your words be able to flow through them. Just be able to glorify you, Lord, and you alone. Thank you for being able to allow me to be here, Lord, and just thank you for allowing everybody to be here as well, God. And just, again, please let all that we say and do glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Titus 3, 1 through 7 starts off as, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil to no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our day in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs to the throne, or to the hope of eternal life. So, right here, just digging into the text, the very first thing that I want to point out today is in verse 1. Paul was writing this letter to Titus to remind the believers at the time, which also can correlate to today, it does correlate to today, to be submissive to rulers and authorities. This can be good citizens, to be obedient to God, to be ready to do good actions at all times, watching our tongues, to avoid quarreling, being gentle-hearted, just as Christ was to everybody, and showing perfect courtesy to all people, not just a certain few, but all people. So why do we have to show these disciplines, and what is the importance of this? Well, these are all evidences of a changed heart. These are all evidences of Christ and how he lived on this earth. So as we see this letter, as Paul is transitioning into verse 3, we had to, as a continuation, because it begins with 4, and it's a continuation of the disciplines that are described in verses 1 and 2, because it shows how we once were as unbelievers. It shows how we were before we were saved. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, and slaves to various passions and pleasures. But I just want to stop here for one moment and right there, and I want to, in just a few words, Paul clearly describes an unbeliever to us who, or to whoever is reading this text. One, we have foolish. What does foolish mean? Well, in this particular setting, for whenever we were foolish, that means that we had a perverted mindset on how the world is and how what life is all about. We didn't even have a single clue as far as what life is about, because we didn't know about Christ and we didn't trust in him whenever he's truly what life is all about. Number two, we have disobedient. Even as a believer, we can still be disobedient to God. But the difference in between a believer and an unbeliever is a believer should feel conviction whenever they are disobedient to God. They should have a conviction in their heart any time that they are disobedient to God and want to repent. But as an unbeliever, at that point, whenever you are, if someone, before we were saved, we had no conviction. I know for myself, I had no conviction before I was a believer whenever I sinned against God. I know that I have been disobedient at times with my parents. I've been disobedient to friends as far as telling them that I'd do something whenever I ended up forgetting or something. And throughout all these different times, as a believer, I felt convicted. But as an unbeliever, I wouldn't have cared. And so I led myself astray in thinking that what I was doing was right. And then in that was being foolish, which Paul writes down first, we were once foolish, because I was putting my disobedience before Christ. And then we can also see that anything that leads us away from Christ is a sin. People need to realize that. It can be very, very hard for unbelievers to realize that what they're doing is wrong, because a lot of times they don't see what they are doing is wrong. And in that, it's not maybe it's a sin or possibly it's a sin, but it is a sin. Anything that leads us away from Christ is without a doubt a sin. So as we are led further and further away from Christ, we can become slaves to our individual passions and pleasures. And slaves, that's a very powerful word. What do you think of whenever you think of slaves? For some things, you could think of how our country was started with slavery. For kids, you can think of maybe slaves to your parents for taking out your trash or doing dishes or something like that. But really, what is a slave? A slave is imprisoned. And it's imprisoned to something. It has to be imprisoned to something. So being a slave is an unbeliever. An unbeliever is imprisoned to whatever they want, never seeing Christ in the picture. So a lot of times what an unbeliever will do is they'll push him out of the way, even if Christ is presented to them, because they still got these blindfolds on their face. They still got these blindfolds on their face, and they say, "Don't worry, I don't need God," or "Don't worry, I got another day to live because I can go eat, sleep, and be merry, do whatever I want." Not really having those folds taken off so they can see the full glory of God through Jesus Christ. So, as an unbeliever, they are blind and they are imprisoned, not even knowing that they are imprisoned. And I know exactly what an unbeliever goes through, because at one point I was there in their footsteps. But the story goes on, and it goes on to talk about a loving Savior who saved me, but I won't go there that far, because we're not quite done with verse 3. Paul continues on saying that we passed our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. So we can see here that we didn't want anything to do with anybody. And also, for unbelievers, they don't want anything to do with anybody else but themselves. And they are so egotistical because they want to do things their own way so that they can be benefited. But luckily, we see here that Paul clearly describes in verse 3 what the natural man was and what the natural man is to this day, because they're unbelievers still to this day that still do all these things, that are foolish, that are disobedient, that are led astray, that are slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing their days in malice and envy, still hating one another and hated by others. But, see here in verse 4, but, that's a beautiful word. Paul transitions, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, I'm going to continue on with verse 5 a little bit. He saved us. We see this God of ours saying that the goodness and loving kindness appeared. And the beautiful meaning about that word appeared is that it's always been there. It appeared to us. It didn't say that the loving or the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior just started. It doesn't say that it just began, but it appeared. So that blind that we had covering our eyes has been lifted through Jesus Christ. And what a beautiful story that is. So that means that our God is constant. We can trust and rest assured in God because we know that He is always there. He has always been there since the beginning, and He will always be there through the end, through eternal life. So whenever we keep on going, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. Believers, be joyous and praise God that He did save us, because we can go on to look and we see there we didn't do anything. There was no works that we could do in order to achieve an eternal life with Jesus Christ, because what do we deserve? Every single one of us, including myself, all deserve a life of hell. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we know that right there with that statement alone, there is nothing that we can do to achieve eternal life and spend it with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But luckily, not luckily, thank God and praise God that with Him being rich in mercy and with Him being full of love and grace, He bestowed that upon us, and He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this earth to die for us and live a perfect life without sin, so that one day He could be sacrificed, raised up 3 days later from the grave, so that we can spend an eternal life with Him, because our hope is secured through that. So this transition of a natural man to a loving, constant God is such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful picture of what the gospel truly is. So, we have this beautiful, new, gorgeous creation. He saved us. We didn't have to do anything to be saved. And it is through Christ and Christ alone. We go on to see that God's shown that mercy to us through Christ by washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So it was poured out onto us richly through Him. Not just a sprinkle here and there, or like some water like here and there, but it's poured out richly on us. We have received more than enough that we don't even deserve, but that we are justified by His grace and we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, heirs, that's a beautiful, beautiful word right there. We can be heirs with Christ and sit with Christ in heaven to worship God our Father. You know, whenever I was talking with my friend today, or this week, and Brother Caden, he told me, he said, whenever you think of heirs, you think of royalty. Whenever I think of royalty, I think of kings or queens or princes and princesses. And so whenever I was thinking of this, a beautiful illustration that fits this picture is Princess Diane. Before Prince Charles was there, and this is not even comparable to what Christ did for us, but this is still a good illustration, is that she was just a commoner. But then when Prince Charles saw her and then asked her to marry him, of course she said yes, and we go on to know that now she is a princess with him. She went from being just a simple commoner to having a place of royalty. And that's what God did for us through Jesus Christ. With Jesus Christ's sacrifice on that cross, we now have a spot of royalty, and we can sit at the throne of God with Him to praise God and worship God. So real quick before I finish, I want to flip back to Romans 8:15-17, because we go on to see where it talks about how we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We've actually just went through this in our series through Romans, and back in Romans chapter 8, verses 15-17, reads this: "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with Him in order that we may be also be glorified with him. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. Knowing that we can be heirs with Christ is such a glorious, glorious thing. We can rest assured and have faith and hope in that. So real quick, just about a general overview of what we've already went over. Verses 1 and 2, we have the disciplines of how a Christian should act outside of the church, how a Christian should act, setting the example for everybody. And then Paul wants to go on in verse 3 and remind believers of how believers once were in their shadowy times, whenever we were foolish and disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions, living our lives in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. So we see that we don't want to go back into that. We already know what it once was as a believer. We know the struggles that we went through during that time. But then, third point is God our Savior, how loving and just he is. How he poured out his own mercy on us, but he poured out his full wrath on his son so that we could spend an eternal life with him. That's a beautiful picture of the gospel, because it is the gospel. Because here's what happened. Christ came into this world as a baby. God the Father sent his only son, Jesus Christ, who was fully God and fully man. He walked through this world just like us, facing trials and temptations. But one thing that he did that none of us can say that we did, he did not sin. So he did not even deserve to die. But what did we do? We put him on that cross. We put him on that cross. He had to suffer and die for us. He had to be a sacrifice so that we might be able to live a life with him. But 3 days later, it doesn't just end there. After he dies, it doesn't end there. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. That stone rolled away. And he came up victorious from death. And through that, we can rest assured and have hope and be secure in the fact that we'll spend the rest of our lives as a believer with Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior. We shouldn't want to just go to heaven just so that we can get to heaven. We should want to go to heaven to spend and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So one thing that I want to do before we end today is we are going to be heirs with Christ if you're a believer. If you're an unbeliever, please come talk with me. Come talk with me, because I direly want to tell you about the story of my loving Christ, my loving Savior, who rose up 3 days later from the grave and saved me. We don't know when our Lord is coming back. But one thing is for sure is that whenever he comes back, he's not just coming back just to say, oh, well, you know, you weren't, you know, if you, here's your second chance. If you want to believe in me now, you can go ahead and believe in me. Whenever he comes back, he is wiping out everything, and he's taking back those that believe and trust in him and taking them back to heaven so that we can spend an eternal life with him, so we can be heirs to the throne. And those who aren't heirs to the throne, I hate to tell you, but those who aren't heirs to the throne are going to a lake of burning fire in a place that we will be separated from Christ forever and ever and ever. So I urge you and I plead with you, please, please come talk to me if there's anybody that doesn't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Because I want to just pray real quick before we end. But after the service, if there's anybody that wants to know more or has any questions, please come up to me, because I am excited and I will be more than happy to tell you about the story of my Christ who saved me. So let's end real quick with a prayer. Father God, just thank you for showing us your love. Thank you for showing us your goodness. Thank you for showing us your love through sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to us. Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you today, God, just please let them come up to me. Lord, just hide me behind your cross, God, because I don't want any of the glory. I want you to be glorified completely, God. Hide me behind the cross and speak through me to that individual that may not know you, God, so that they can see that that fold that's over their eyes might be lifted to see the glorification of you through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful day that you've blessed us with, God. And we ask that you allow us to be able to have safe travels as we go home, Father. But if there's anyone again, Lord, that does not know you, please let them come up to me, God, and have a talk with me, because I want to share your glory to them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.